Hey, welcome to the Happy Ramp Podcast. I am Ted Kluck, joined, as always, in studio by my good friends and partners in radio, Barnabas Piper and Ronald J. Martin. And Ron, are you back in beautiful Ashland, Ohio, or are you on the road somewhere?
No, I'm back, man. I was in beautiful Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania over the weekend. But I'm in Ash for a very short window here before I head out to Louisville. On Monday.
Baby, yeah. You're our favorite itinerant pastor. Can you call yourself an itinerant pastor?
Dude, you can't say that. I got people out there that think I'm their full-time pastor, and I am. It's just a busy season.
That's the greatest scam in the history of ministry.
You sound so rejuvenated. It must be because you're only home
for
like
2 days.
It's
because he's traveling again. Yeah, it's
because
he's
no, because it's because it's fall. That's why I'm rejuvenated. Because it's like the weather is crisp, it's golden. There's leaves. That's why I'm rejuvenated, man. The weather is.
Baby, you know what? I'm glad you mentioned that because I have heard some things about Ashland recently, and Piper. It's everywhere I go. It's all I hear about is how great this town is, and how it's the fastest growing like municipal area in the Midwest. I just feel like there's a big sort of influx of people into Ashland lately. Have you heard similar things, Piper?
I have. It seems like people are fleeing the weather issues of the coastal regions and making their way to the stable rust belt of the United States. You know, maybe not stable economically, but you know, they're breathing fresh coastal money into it. And I've heard many similar rumors.
Fresh coastal music royalty money into it. And I just hear it's a really good place to settle down and that there's a big influx of people. So maybe you could speak to that in a future episode, Big R.
Absolutely.
But I want to harken back to that in a minute related to the story about Piers Morgan and Daniel Craig. But before I do that, Piper, why don't you lay some sponsorship stuff on us, man? We are a business. This is a money-generating enterprise. And far be it from me to downplay that. So, Piper, what are we looking at business wise?
Well, I mean, we're not looking at music royalty money or coastal money, but we are, you know, we are a business, and we do occasionally make a dime or three. Our first sponsor is InterVarsity Press with the book Here in Spirit by Jonathan Dodson. It is, as it sounds like, a book on the Holy Spirit, and it's really a book to help believers understand the person of the Holy Spirit. So the fact that the Spirit is not just sort of a collection of gifts, it's not sort of a mystical figure. He's not sort of the lesser of the three members of the Trinity. And Dodson has a way of writing that's really pastoral and accessible. And the book is only 160 pages. And the reason I emphasize that is because it's not a fat theology book. It's a book for normal people. Like, I would read a book like this. I don't read fat theology books, generally speaking, which is ironic since I work in theological publishing. But I wanted to read one of the endorsements they have that they've sent us from Sam Storms. So Sam Storms is a pastor in Oklahoma. He was one of my college professors. One of the people I respect most in terms of biblical and theological teaching in the world. He said, "I've lost count of the number of books I've read on the Holy Spirit. I've even written a few myself. After a while, they all start to sound the same, and I lose interest. Trust me when I say that this will most assuredly not happen to you on reading Jonathan Dodson's excellent book, Here in Spirit. It is a surprisingly fresh, exquisitely written, biblically rooted, and experientially honest presentation of the Spirit of God as a person with whom we commune right here, right now." So, a man who has written books that he finds boring, has read books that he finds boring, and is a better author or thinker than any of the people listening to this podcast or on this podcast, says that you should read this book. So the book is Here in Spirit by Jonathan Dodson from IVP. It's available now. Go get it.
Dude, that might be the best blurb I've ever heard. I really like that blurb.
Because it's honest. It's not just like, this is a helpful resource on a subject that I'm disinterested in. He's like, actually, most of the books on this subject suck, but this one's fantastic. Yeah. That's why I picked that one, as opposed to the other generic endorsements on the same book.
Dude, no, I love it. And I'm looking at Dodson right now. I'm looking at this guy, because that's what we do on these book promo reads. Mm-hmm. I Google image the author, and he looks like Joaquin Phoenix. He looks like a pastoral Joaquin Phoenix.
I can see it. Yeah, a little less crazy, but I mean, so
less
are,
crazy,
so are
less
most
grizzled.
People.
He looks like a very Austin-y Joaquin Phoenix, and I think this guy lives in Austin. You know,
yes, he does in fact live in Austin.
Yeah, he's an Austin-y Joaquin Phoenix. So there you go. I'm sure that in consort with Sam Storm's endorsement will make people flock to the stores to get this.
Yeah, so it's especially like you can trust Sam Storms because he rocks a sweater vest year round, no matter the speaking engagement. So you can always trust a man in a sweater vest. Never trust a man in a suit. Always trust a man in a sweater vest.
Absolutely. Amen.
So our other sponsor, as you have come to know and love, listeners, is Noah's Event Venues. We'll run through this one quick because you're familiar with it by now, and I'm sure you've already gone to NoahEventVenue.com/church to look into it. But they're a company that provides venues all over the country for all sorts of events, but they have a specific setup for churches looking to start new campuses, to relocate church plants, any church that needs to expand, whatever it is, comes with all the services that you need in terms of audiovisual, podiums, projectors, TVs, Wi-Fi. They have classrooms, they have cafe space, they have parking lots provided, so it's not just, crummy street parking. They have a kitchen, they have kind of everything for a church that a church would need. So if you're at a church who's looking to find a new space for whatever reason or looking to expand or plant a new campus, go to noaeventvenue.com/church and check them out. I think they have locations in 20 to 30 states and multiple cities in some of those. So most major metro areas around the country. And so noaeventvenue.com/church, check them out and go ahead and start meeting there now. Sorry, Ron, they don't have them in Ashland, but maybe once more of that coastal money comes in, Noah's will move there as well.
Yeah, that's all going to change. That's all going to change.
They don't have Ron in Ashland, really. So, I mean, what difference does it make?
The major draw is on the road, like 84% of the time.
Exactly. Wow. Exactly.
Wow.
And they're not Mormons, so I think we verified that, didn't we? That they're not a Mormon company.
Yes, we verified that they're not Mormons. We got a very strong, correction from a listener. Because we had said, well, we couldn't remember when Mormons met for church, if it was Saturdays or Sundays. And we thought, well, if they meet on Saturdays, maybe they're renting out their Mormon temples on Sundays. And we got guys, Mormons meet on Sundays. And I'm very disappointed in your lack of research, which tells me that he's either a new listener or just like a first-time listener. I don't know what it is, but the fact that he assumed that we would ever do research was mildly insulting to me.
Dude, seriously, he hasn't been with the program very long. We do jack for research. We'll have none of that. Piper, as always, amazing job with those promos. And I tell you, boys, I don't do a lot of like current event stuff. We don't do a lot of that on the program. But one of these things that I've been hearing about is this flap, this dust up between. Piers Morgan. Is it Piers? Pierce? How are we saying that name? Piers Morgan.
I like Piers, like a Z. Say it like that.
Piers, like multiple Piers.
Kind of rhymes with douchebag.
Yeah. So this flap between Piers Morgan and Daniel Craig, who's 007. He's the actor who portrayed 007, who apparently was walking around wearing one of these things with like the baby lashed to his chest. Is that the deal?
Yeah, what do they call those? Like the baby Bjorn? They're like the little front carrier for small infants.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he's got the baby. The baby is lashed to his chest. And I couldn't help but think, Piper, and I've got to be coy about this, right? Because this is not a story that we can break publicly. This isn't breaking news, but the individual who is going to be part of the diasporic kind of migration to Ashland... I couldn't help but imagine him lashed to Ron's chest in one of these papooses.
That's not the direction I thought you were going. I thought you were going to say you too would like to be lashed to Daniel Craig's chest, but
not at all. I think I know a person who would like to be lashed to Ron's chest.
Wow,
that's where I was going with this.
Yeah, I can absolutely see it. I mean, it's sort of like a little baby marsupial, just sort of draped on there. I can absolutely
see
it.
a little bearded baby marsupial lashed to Ron's chest, and People Magazine or TMZ would like get a snapshot of former music personality Ron Martin getting his coffee in Ashland with like this other person,
the marsupial songwriter just hanging there,
out of the Bjorn on Ron's chest. And I don't know. Call me sentimental. I was tickled by that imagery. But Piers Morgan had an issue with this lashing of the baby to the chest of Daniel Craig, and then A bunch of reform people, as I understand it, like flipped out at Piers Morgan. So am I getting this right, Piper? Do I have the story straight?
Yes. The initial flap was that Morgan was very critical that 007 is now no longer a man. He's handed in his man card in exchange for a baby Bjorn. And then, there was heat on all sides. There was much vitriol because this is what happens in the internet age. But yeah, so much anger at Morgan. And then I'm sure that some other people piled on Daniel Craig.
Dude, you can't mention man, woman stuff at all. You can't mention gender, that it even exists.
Yeah.
Without getting everyone raged up at you. So that's
everyone
one
is
area.
Cisgender. I don't know what that word means, but I'm gonna use it with confidence. We are cisgender.
Absolutely.
Or should
absolutely.
Be.
That's our stance as a program officially. So if you're a male or female listener, we have no use for those distinctions. We just see you as amorphous completely. So one of my favorite things, Piper, is when reform people freak out. And what was the nature of this freak out? What were they freaking out over?
Ron, did you dig into this at all? Like, did you have the fortitude to wade into the criticisms? Because like I caught wind of it, but you know, I couldn't bring myself to read a ton of it.
No, I didn't get into it. I just saw a couple of the A-listers like Russ Moore and Al Mohler kind of say, you know, gee whiz, Pierce, you know, that is what real manhood is, to carry around your baby in a baby Bjorn, you know, kind of a thing. It's like it was almost like I feel like the response, it wasn't even dignified enough to make a response to, you know, kind of a thing. And yeah. talk about the obvious response, right? It's like nobody knows why Pierce said what he did, but like nobody, are you really going to find somebody who thinks that a dude carrying his baby on his chest somehow emasculates him? I mean, like, do we really think that there's somebody out there who thinks that? I mean, yeah, we do, but like, is it really even like an argument to bring up? You know what I'm saying?
I think if I've learned one thing in the last, I don't know, since about November of 2016, it's that the do you really think there's somebody out there who question? The answer is always yes.
Yeah, of course.
Yes, there's absolutely someone who. There is someone who does or thinks whatever ridiculous thing or awful thing or asinine thing. Like, it's that person is out there. And apparently Piers Morgan is that person or one of many.
Isn't that what sucks the most about the internet, though? Is like those people have always been out there, but like in a pre-internet environment, like they were never like a part of your life.
Yeah,
I
like
guess,
the cavemen stayed in caves pre-internet. It was kind of nice.
I know. Yeah, I guess for me, it's just like that was so like to even like respond. That's like somebody. Somebody walking around with a shirt that just says, like, I hate everybody, and then, like, Al Mohler saying, well, you know what? You really shouldn't hate everybody. You know? It's really not a great thing to go around hating the entire human race. It's like the no-duh moment of the day. You know what I mean? Like, do you even have to respond to that? It's so ridiculous. I don't know.
Dude, do you think Al Mohler would lash Russ Moore to his chest in a similar fashion?
Absolutely.
I would pay to see that. I would enjoy seeing the two of them laugh together.
Russell Moore and a baby Bjorn.
You're saying it like
Russell Moore and a baby
you're
Bjorn.
You're saying like it's something that hasn't happened. I mean, you know.
Yeah, I'm saying it like it's a hypothetical. It probably is a real thing. You know, there's probably a photo of it somewhere.
Who,
I'd like to see it.
Yeah. So, like, yeah. What are the best baby Bjorn pairings out there that we could think of? I mean, other than Daniel Craig and his actual child, which is also very darling, and I'm sure 007 now has more fans than ever. But
yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, these are Hall of Fame baby Bjorn pairings. So Mohler and Russ Moore, that one is a natural.
Yeah, that's a strong one.
Who else? What are some other baby Bjorn pairings we'd
baby,
like to
I'd
see?
Like to see you and Katie Y.
Who here's my question though.
I want him to carry you.
Well, that's already happened. My entire Christian publishing career. He's been carrying me for years.
I was hoping you'd take it that far. I was hoping you were going to say what everybody's already
saying. It was the elephant in the room. It was the Bjorn in the room. You know,
it was the Bjork in the room.
Absolutely. So you want to see me lashed to the chest of Katie?
I just think seeing him walk up to do a plenary at TGC next year with you strapped to his chest would maybe be the greatest singular moment in reformed history. Am I lying?
Baby, I would do it. I would do it for the right price. I mean, the numbers have
to be there. Oh, baby, don't worry. Me and Pipe, we would beg, borrow, and steal to come up with the kind of cash needed for that maneuver. No doubt.
Baby, here's my issue, though. DeYoung already has, like, 14 of his own kids. Like, there's no room in that Bjorn for big team.
Only 14.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, but no, I know what you're saying.
Throw some elbows.
Yeah, throw some elbows. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, but none of them are.
Or is that not manly either? I'm real confused now about what's real manly. I don't know if throwing elbows is allowed. I'm confused.
I feel like the manliest reform thing is to produce a whole bunch of kids and then, like, barely see them because, you know, of how hard you're working
or
whatever.
Because you're breadwinning or whatever.
Yeah, you're out there breadwinning.
You know, you can say whatever you want about Katie White's kids, but none of them, number one, has ever co-written a book with him. And number two, none of them have ever been strapped to his chest.
That's the thing. If I'm ever in an argument with any of Katie White's kids, God forbid, that's what I'm going to open with. How many books have you written with your dad? Huh?
How many times have you been strapped to your dad's chest like I have?
Exactly. Literally and figuratively, I might add. Yeah. Oh, okay. So me and Katie Y, that's a good Bjorn pairing, Big R. That's strong. That's Hall of Fame.
I would love to see, like, I would love to see, well, hold on, I got another one. I would love to see, like, Mark Devers strapped to, like, Furtick's chest. Just have all those Baptist sparks, like, just flying off the chest. You know?
That'd be crazy.
Yeah, that
would be so
man,
crazy.
That would be a contentious Bjorn.
Ferdy and Dever.
I feel like Dever would die of, like, Axe body spray inhalation if you were strapped to Ferdy's chest.
Like coconut oil and whatever else is going
coconut,
on there.
Yeah, coconut oil and like I don't know, men's hair removal
and
products.
And pheromones.
Well, then what if he hadn't shaved his chest for like 2 days? That would be painful.
Dude, it'd be all stubborn.
Oh, man. That'd be like sandpaper. That'd be rough.
It'd be rough,
literally and figuratively.
a lot of literal and figurative things we're doing on the broadcast. Yeah.
Have you guys ever shaved your chest? Real talk.
No. I have like nine chest hairs, so I don't need to. But
you could shave them all individually and take like 2 minutes.
I can pluck them in 8 seconds. It's not a big deal.
There you go.
Nice.
There you go. Big R, any chest shaving in your past?
No.
Interesting.
I mean, except for when I used to cycle. I'm totally kidding.
You know, just making conversation.
Did you cycle shirtless? Is that why you needed to be hairless on your chest?
Of course I cycled shirtless. I mean, you know.
What are we, animals?
This was the 80s and 90s. Of course I did.
Is that more or less manly than the baby Bjorn now?
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know.
I don't know because I was wearing those, you know, I'm wearing those Lycra shorts or whatever they are. Of course I was wearing a shirt, but I don't remember what kind of shirt I was wearing. This was so long ago when I had my 4.5 day cycling career before it puttered out, you know?
Nice, baby.
It pedaled out, yeah, but it... Before you realize that it sucks to
yeah,
cycle
before I realize that like cycling super hard, it's kind of like running. It's the worst, and it hurts. And even when you're in shape, somehow it still is painful.
Absolutely, boys. We're wandering to and fro. I want to get back to baby Bjorn pairings. What else do we got?
You're up, Hyde. Come up with something.
I'm working on it. Driscoll needs to be involved in a baby Bjorn simply because he is the least likely baby Bjorner ever.
I'd love to see Joe Thorne on Drisky's chest.
Well, Joe,
yeah, because
Joe
that's
Thorne
really
he's infant sized, so that would be just about the right that would work.
Dude,
well.
he's infant sized, and he really was birthed out of Drisky.
He was.
I mean, not literally like out of Drisky's body, but like out of the ethos of Drisky came Joe
we're
Thorne.
We're not that cisgender. Come on now.
Exactly.
Hey, Pipe, am I wrong about this? Because it may have been at Joe Thorne. Joey T that said, talking about Drisky's new upcoming book, who said, I will not be endorsing his book. Was that Joey? Do you remember?
Dude, that doesn't sound like a Joey move to me.
I don't know. I only ever see him post anything online about his own podcast, which I will not name because they don't need any promotion from us. And then like cigars and whiskey.
Oh, dude, you know what? It might have been Alain Nobel. Yeah, that's who it might have been.
Oh, your buddy, man. Your favorite Twitter follower.
Yeah. I like to call him LeBron. No. Yeah.
Well, you know, for full disclosure, I'm also not endorsing Driscoll's next book. Are you guys endorsing Driscoll's next book?
I mean, if
dude, I would refuse to do it.
If he asks me and there's cash involved, I would do that as well as write a hit worship song.
At this point, I'm refusing to even be asked to endorse it. I haven't been asked, but I'm refusing to accept the request if they were considering me.
You can't refuse the request. You can't stop that email from coming in from Charisma.
That's right.
Publishing.
That's right.
That's right. You can never stop anyone with charisma. That's
true. In fact, that's, charisma just wrote me. I'm giving charisma your email right now, Pipe. Like expect that email.
Will
Dude,
you?
How much?
Yeah, that's.
How much money would it take to get you guys to endorse like a let's just say Drisky's next book? Because we, you know, like there's issues with vis-a-vis Drisky, but like we all probably went through a phase at some point where we were like okay with Drisky. So how much would it take?
Dude, I don't even know. I really don't know. I mean, there's a price.
I do it for
$2,000. $2,000?
I do it for $2,000.
Interesting.
$2,000.
Interesting.
Yep, I do it for $2,000. So Drisky's people, if you're listening, if you want the endorsement of the guy who's strapped literally and figuratively to KDY's chest and a baby Bjorn, I'd do it for $2,000.
So, dude, Big T's going to go charismatic for $2,000. That's big.
Baby, I've got some of those leanings. I'm not going
to
lie.
No, I know, because as a reform guy, you're supposed to now have some of those leanings. I get it.
But only a few. Just a few of those. Yeah.
Just like Pipes just ringing endorsement for Sam Storms like 10 minutes ago. I get it. Like, we're all supposed to have those now. I get it.
Yeah. I didn't even know you were supposed to.
Yeah, you're kind of supposed to.
I don't know how many leanings I have. It's just like a feeling that I have. But reform guys aren't supposed to have feelings.
Of course
feelings,
it's a feeling you have because it's charismatic. But then at the same time, you're reformed, so you know you're conflicted because you're not supposed to have feelings.
Dude, the fact that I have feelings at all puts me out of the tribe. Right. You know, I'm on the outs. Here's a baby Bjorn pairing that I would like to see. I would like to see Ron's favorite Twitter follow, Alan Noble, strapped to the chest of, you know, this program's favorite Twitter follow, at Jared C. Wilson. Because I think there's some similarities there. I think the ethos is similar.
I think Twitter would actually implode and swallow itself in a black hole if that happened. That would just, all of the tweets would exist in the space of, like, it would be just flesh-on-flesh tweets from that. That'd be
incredible.
Just, yeah, I mean, almost unfathomable. I'm not sure how to even consider that.
Yeah, I mean, I have one that's kind of controversial. Should I say it?
Oh, no. We don't do controversy on this show, ever.
Baby, say it. It's your program.
I can't. Pipe just said I can't.
I'm sorry. I forgot to use my sarcasm font.
Uh-huh. Hey, what about, I mean, I don't know how people are going to feel about this, but I wouldn't mind seeing, you know, Jackie Hill Perry and Frankie Chan somewhere together in that
Wow.
mix.
Yeah, Piper, you speak to that because I don't even know.
I'm not speaking to that. I mean, other than to say, you know, cisgender. So it's just genderless. This is a genderless podcast.
Well, because that's true, it doesn't matter. I was saying it on account of that. Yeah. Right.
Okay, so I'm not the kind of person who cares about gender or even sees gender in any way, but who would be baby Bjorning with Rachel the Held Evans?
Oh my goodness.
Who do we put in that baby Bjorn?
Trogues.
Trogues. Dude, I love it. Trogues,
that just slid off your tongue real easy.
And I realize this creates a potential conflict because that puts Trogues in multiple baby Bjorns, maybe potentially. But I think that's the right
one. Dude, I feel like Trogues makes sense in so many baby Bjorns.
Okay, no, you know never I mean? Mind. You know what? Let's leave Trogues out of it. It's Owen Stram.
I love it.
I have a question vis-a-vis Owen Strahan, and it has to do with perception.
Owen Strachan?
And
is that the same?
Yeah.
Okay, just double checking.
I don't care enough to ever like search this out in real life. So I'm just going to ask you guys: Is Owen Strahan like a? Is he like a smaller gentleman? Is he a little guy?
He makes
because in my mind's eye,
Joe,
he's a little
he
guy.
He makes Joe Thorne look like a cave troll. So
okay,
yeah, I thought he was smaller, right, Pipe? I mean,
he's an itty bitty little man.
Yeah.
Wow. Fascinating. Fascinating. Yeah, that was my perception. So, you know, it'd have to be like a small baby Bjorn. You know,
smaller than the one for Russ Moore, who's also a tiny little man.
Can I just say something though, man? Because you guys brought up Trogues, and I had an experience with Trogues very recently, and what I found out about him was something.
Dude, no way.
Tell us more. Well, I mean, something I found out about him amongst many other things, but the thing that was most shocking to me. Was how tall he like dude he's a legitimate like iron giant, man. That dude is tall. He's tall.
Wow, how tall, baby? Is he taller than
me? Well, I mean, you know, I'm not a man of large stature. So again, it's coming from a different lens here, right? Let's just be honest. But
sure.
I don't know. I mean, all I can say is that like I have a friend out here. Let me just put it to you this way. So one of my elders is 6 foot six, and maybe it's because I'm used to him. Wow. But when I stand next to him, I literally go up to like his belt buckle or whatever. But like I was I'm not even fazed by that, right? But when Trogs came, and I'm just going to say this once, when he stopped by to visit, I was shocked at how tall he was. Shocked.
Parentheses unannounced.
Yeah,
don't leave any details out.
For 6 days.
six days.
Semicolon.
6 days, baby.
Semicolon, yeah. Just to hang.
Yep. Now,
period, baby Bjorn, period.
When he's lashed to your chest in a baby Bjorn, you'll always know where he is, though. That's a good thing.
Ashtown.
Now, Big R, how long has he been gone?
Trokes?
Yeah, from A-Town. Yeah, when did he leave?
He skipped out on a Sunday after our church service that I wasn't there for.
You better get used to that.
they better get used to that.
Exactly. So he skips out Sunday afternoon after the church service you weren't at. How long before you got a text from him?
Oh, I was getting texts while he was sitting in the chairs during the service.
Okay, all right. So there was no like 24-hour buffer.
Oh no, dude! I'm literally driving home from Pittsburgh, and I'm getting texts from him. Yeah.
Oh, baby, that's fantastic.
Yeah, it was awesome.
If he's in the baby Bjorn, he doesn't have to text. He can just whisper it in your ear.
It's true. He had like the voice activation in his Bjorn.
Can I buy the movie rights preemptively to like what's going to happen when Trogs may or may not relocate to A-Town?
Do you have a title in mind on that, Big T?
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of working titles, but. You know, I'd have to wait on that. I don't want to drop anything on the audience now that I haven't really like workshopped. Yeah. You know, you're an artist,
absolutely,
baby.
You gotta hold it close before you can release
it. Hold it close. Close to the vest, like a baby Bjorn. I gotta put it in the Bjorn and keep it close to my chest.
Absolutely.
Piper, any more legendary Bjorn pairings before we move on?
You know, I think I topped out at Owen Strand and Rachel the Held Evans, so I'm just going to drop the mic on that one. I got nothing better than that.
You know what, though, I think, too? I think of a guy that might love being in a baby Bjorn, and I just keep coming back to Frankie Chan. I just feel like he's a guy that would love to just kind of cuddle up like that, don't you think?
Just kind of nestled in close. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I could see that, baby. You know? I could definitely see it.
I feel like we need to get a Frank McKinney pairing in here just for nostalgia's sake.
Frank McKinney and like Sinclair Ferguson
and the other thief or something. I'm not sure,
dude.
But
what about Frank McKinney and the leader of the free world right now, Donald Trump? I feel like Trump endorsed a Frank McKinney book. Oh, did that happen,
right?
Or am I making that up?
I think you're right.
No, I think that sounds right. And I think 45 is also a man of significant stature. So Frank McKinney and his slight artist frame could just nestle right in there against his the president's orange chest.
Absolutely. Oh, I love it. That's a good pairing. Boys, I want to switch gears drastically here, and I want to ask, this is a reader question that comes up from time to time, and it's fun to talk about. What are you reading and watching right now that you guys are really enjoying? So we are not just producers of Cutting Edge Media, we are also consumers. And in between just being book and radio moguls, we do have time to consume things in our private lives. So I'll start with you, Ron. What are you watching and reading right now that you're really enjoying?
I'm not really reading a ton right now. Nothing super.
Besides like the Delta Sky Miles magazine.
Yeah, I mean, that's,
you know, when you're traveling.
Oh, yeah. Big M's holding up the new Hannah Anderson book, All That's Good. I'm like a chapter into that. And it's really good and poetic. And she's talking about baking pies in the first chapter, and it's cozy and it fits the mood. I love it for that, you know. So,
Piper, what are the odds that you would ever read that book? 10 being like I'm actually reading it right now. 1 being I would, if it was the last thing on earth, I wouldn't read it.
Oh, a lot closer to I would definitely read it than I would never read it, because Hannah Anderson,
really?
she's a really good writer, thinker, and just you know, Ron represents it as like. A book about like wearing sweaters and sniffing pumpkin spice, but
like it's a cookbook basically. It's like a Christmas special.
Well, I mean, it has elements. Right. Yeah. It does have elements of that for sure. Yeah.
Well, sure, but she's not like a Hallmark special writer.
Well, of course
she's
not.
She, but okay, well, you, there's a reason that you
well,
don't
I haven't
the
read
promos.
The book, so I can't give a promo like you do about all the books you don't read. I don't know how to do that. I don't have that kind of gifting, Big T. What's he doing to me right now?
So I would absolutely read that book because she's a really good writer and thinker, and not she doesn't just write about like pies and cloves and cinnamon spice.
Like he's already promoing the book and he hasn't even read it. That's how good he is.
Piper, you're mentioning all the parts that Ron has skipped over. The part that doesn't have any cloves or cinnamon spices in it.
There was theology and all sorts of really brilliant insights on life, but pie.
If God has a plan to restore the goodness of the world, and what if you're part of that plan? In all that's good, Hannah invites you to embrace discernment as part of God's work of redemption and learning to see the world as he sees it in all its brokenness and beauty. How do you like
and
that?
What you got out of that was making pies?
Because I read the first chapter, and the first half of the chapter is talking about her making pie crust. I mean, dude, I'm not making it up. That's what she's writing about.
Baby, how often when you record is Big M in the studio? And can she hear our voices or just yours?
No, she can't hear you guys, just me. And she's
okay.
And she's just she makes a lot of like faces and does a lot of eye movements. Let me just tell you that much.
Yeah.
Are they mostly rolling like back in her head?
You know, Pipe, they might be. I don't know yet. Let me read the promo again for Hannah, and I'll be able to tell you whether she's making
baby. Does that put pressure on you? Do you feel pressured by that?
Not at all.
Like a live studio audience kind of feel?
Not at all.
In your studio,
no, I literally just don't care on any level. It's totally fine.
Interesting.
I mean, she's cooking up something nice. It smells good. It's kind of inspiring me right now.
Something.
That's very manly of you to not care.
She is. She's cooking up something with some pumpkin, you know, some pumpkin things to it. I'm looking at all that's good all that's good has this butternut squash yellow cover on it. I mean, it's about as pumpkin.
She got the recipe out of chapter four of Hannah's
new
book.
It is chapter four. My dinner is chapter four of Hannah's new book. If you listen to the podcast, that's not an insult. That's why I'm reading the book. I love it. So what am I watching right now? I just saw First Man.
How was that?
With what's his name, babe?
Is that with Gosling?
Yeah, with Ryan Gosling. Yeah.
Absolutely. Does he actually act in this one, or does he just sort of like smirk and look cute throughout?
Yeah, no, he's never acted a day in his life. But I mean, the movie itself, it was actually like super good. It was filmed kind of really cool, and the soundtrack is amazing. And it was really moving. It was actually
boys.
Really
I have a little bit of pushback here.
Okay.
And I rarely do this because I don't like to be at odds with you guys. But I really respect Ryan Gosling as an actor.
I like him a lot. I like him a lot. Yeah. Me too.
There are a couple movies, a couple really kind of interesting movies that he's done that he gives a good performance in. Have you seen Lars and the Real Girl?
I am familiar with it, but I've never seen it. It got great reviews though.
Oh my gosh, it's so good, dude. It's so, so good. It's one of my favorite kind of little under-the-radar movies. He plays this really socially awkward guy. It's set in the North. Yeah, really interesting movie.
Yeah, I mean, I like him. I mean, have you guys ever heard of this movie called The Notebook? I mean...
huge Notebook guy. Yeah.
I mean...
It's manly to like The Notebook.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't see gender, more or less cisgender manly than Baby Bjorn's.
Liking The Notebook?
Yes.
I think Baby Bjorns are more manly than The Notebook because it requires more of you. The thing of it is with the Baby Bjorn, you actually have to carry a friggin' baby around in your chest, which is like a lot of work compared to just watching a movie.
Or an adult human with every pairing that we suggested.
Or the adult human that's about to move to your town.
You know what, Ted? Don't emasculate yourself and strap a baby to your chest like that, man. That's just
exactly.
It's sad. It's not.
Dude, my kids aren't babies anymore.
It's not what the male race is called to do.
I'm not a real reformed man in that I haven't created 14 people. So I only have two.
I think that includes all of us on the podcast at this point. We're all lacking a little in that area.
Dude, I was thinking about that the other day. For three reformed dudes, we haven't produced a whole lot.
We have like zero offspring.
We have five kids between us, which is like a small reformed family.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
that's the first grade in reformed homeschool.
Yeah, that's the amount of kids that are sleeping over in one of KDY's kids' rooms tonight.
Dude, exactly.
He has five bunk beds in one bedroom at his house. Yeah. We have five kids between the three of us.
Yeah, he has five bunk beds in his garage right now, just assuming that that's what his family's going to grow into over the next 5 years. I mean, we can't even come up with five kids between us. It's sad.
Yeah, it really is. It's super sad. But
I feel like we don't even have the right to talk about half the things we talk about.
Dude, we don't have the right to talk thing one about parenting. What do we know? You know, what have we done?
Zero.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys, I have one. I mean, that's like, I mean, you might as well, like most of the people at my church that don't even think I have a kid. I mean, you might as well just consider me kidless at the end of the day.
Are you even a family? Are you even a Christian?
I'm not.
Really? What's up with that? Yeah.
And it doesn't matter because I'm not at church anymore.
I think it takes three kids before sanctification even sets in. Prior to that, it's just, it's a series of accidents.
In the famous words,
baby, can I mention?
In the famous words of my dad, John Francis Martin, say what you will about his middle name.
I love it.
He used to look at me and Big M and say, you know, that's not a real family. I don't have issues. Everything's good. I don't have any hangups. Yeah. There's no problem.
Clearly, not a one.
There's no problems there. Remember, you're not a real family, Ronnie, until you get up into the 3 and 4 range.
Words to live by. He would have a lot of in common.
How many kids are in your family, Ron?
Five. So he did did his work. I mean, it's all good.
Well, I just wanted testing his veracity. He backed up his preaching.
I mean, he backed it
boys,
up. He put his
I mean,
time
let's
in.
Be clear. John Francis was not reformed, like on any level, but he looked reformed. If you were to back up 200 or 300 feet and looked at his family
and see all the kids.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, there's a striking similarity between the thinking of many reformed males and the thinking of a guy who grew up in like the 30s and 40s.
Right.
So. He sounds very reformed to me.
Maybe in some ways. I don't know.
In some ways, in certain ways.
Has he ever read an R.C. Sproul book? Probably not.
To be fair, neither have I.
I mean, be fair, he can't because he's not alive. So we're talking about impossibilities right now. But yeah, seriously, Pipe, have you really never read a Sproul book?
No, I've never read a Sproul book.
I actually really respect that, man. I wish we were close right now and we could eat and have something to drink and discuss that.
Baby Piper grew up in the house of the Sproul.
He's like, I didn't need
north.
To read a book. I could have a conversation with him every other Friday when he used to come over and visit and we'd have, like, fish sticks.
You know? I've had dinner with R.C. Sproul more often than I have read his books.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, in that way, you technically have read his books because he probably just like talked your ear off while you were like eating fish sticks on Friday night.
Pipe, what's he?
I mean, dirty.
Pipe, what's he like at dinner?
It's been a long time. I don't really remember. Also, dinners at my house were always a bit awkward because, John Piper is not the most gregarious of hosts.
You don't say.
which means that people didn't come to the table as sort of the full expression of their personality. So I came away with a somewhat muted view of many Reformed church leaders.
Dude, that's so funny.
I gotta say, like, I don't read most Reformed books. Like, people who are, like, they just eat up Reformed writings. I don't know. That's not me. And it's not for a lack of, agreement with the theology. It's just,
I mean,
I'm kind of worn out on it.
Having said that, and to do a little bit of a transition, I mean, you do like yourself a little Eugene Peterson, Pipe. I mean, we know that.
I do. In fact, I read, what was it? A Long Obedience in the Same Direction.
Maybe one of the greatest
not
books
so
ever
very
written.
Long ago.
Is that what you're saying?
It was one of the best Christian books I've read. Yes.
Absolutely. It's phenomenal, man.
It's and it's the first thing I'd read by him. I just sort of work of nonfiction. So I mean, I've obviously dabbled in The Message, which I've been told by Reformed people is quote unquote dangerous. Apparently, I'm dabbling with hellishness by reading The Message.
Christian witchcraft, man. Redemptive
witchcraft.
Yeah, I
mean, it's like that and the Christian tarot cards go side by side on the shelf, apparently, in the minds of bearded people. But Peterson's book was amazing and absolutely loved it.
Did you read his memoir yet? Have you read that, man?
I have not. Is that called The Pastor?
Yes, dude. It's just all story. It's his life story. You're gonna love that thing. It's amazing.
Well, I'll have to look into that. I mean, after reading that, I immediately was like, oh, this is why everybody not reformed and Ronnie raves about this guy.
Dude, lots of reformed guys like him. They're like, you're allowed to dabble in everything he's done except for the message, pretty much.
Yeah. Dude, Big R, are you allowed like one mulligan author as a reformed guy?
Yeah, I think.
Are you allowed like one guy who falls sort of outside the bounds?
Dude, here's the thing.
The
trend right now is you're allowed even more than that. So right now the trend is, hey, I can like Eugene, I can like Henry Nouwen, I can like, because I can,
oh,
I can start,
Henry Nouwen?
Yeah, I can start getting into these Desert Father like dudes, these
writers.
Yeah,
Desert Father. So it's like, look how widely read I am.
Totally. No, because it's like, yeah. Because again, it almost, dude, I'm just going to say this. So it's almost like it's okay for us to start getting a little mystical and, dare I say, you know, kind of carry, like, it's okay for us to like start swimming in those, like treading those waters as long as we're in the shallow end a little bit, is what I think.
Maybe, is it because we're bored with like all the same crap we've been doing for like a decade?
I mean, it must be.
You know what I mean?
I mean, it must be. I don't know. It's like,
interesting.
It's like, because we have discernment, because like, if we're allowed to read like secular authors, like we are, why can't we read Henry Nouwen and those kind of guys? And plus at the end of the day, how come nobody ever has a problem with C.S. Lewis? That's the one that absolutely kills me. Like
dude, people can read whatever they want. I don't care.
I mean, there's in the reformed world has a very distinct cutoff. Are you dead? Or are you alive? Once you're dead,
that's true.
Once you're dead, all your theological shortcomings begin to fade away. Just period.
Yes, if you're dead, you're like the man.
Yeah, but there's still some dead dudes that we're not.
The best thing
to read,
you could do is be dead.
But Lewis, the least reformed guy in the world, and like I don't know why we're all supposed to be gaga over that guy. Again, because he's creative and because he's mystical and he talks about heaven and all that stuff. So it's like,
dude, but for reform guys though, part of what's fun about C.S. Lewis is having the reservations about him. Reform guys love, you know, having reservations about C.S. Lewis.
Reform guys like to well actually dead people. Like they read Mere Christianity and they're like, it was a fantastic book, but that one part where he actually should have said, I mean, this is like C.S. Lewis is rolling his eyes in his grave at the well actually is being thrown his way.
Dude, you know, Chesterton
is another one. I know. He was not only not reformed, he was Catholic of all the things. Mm-hmm. Like he and Henry Nouwen, both Catholic.
Dude, it's so bad that when I was at your pops's, what's the name of his conference he does?
The Bethlehem Conference for Pastors.
Yeah, there you go. So that whatever that conference he had a while ago when he did the thing on C.S. Lewis and you had Dougie Wilson up there, literally did this talk, defending the fact that he proved that C.S. Lewis was actually reformed. It was the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
That's good TV.
It
though.
Was good TV.
I mean, that's good entertainment. Good yeah.
Dougie up there.
I mean,
there.
It's a little bit like Bigfoot hunters. You know, they just like people who are they like here's the vague video evidence of this creature that's mysterious. I mean, that's a little bit like what people do with C.S. Lewis's theology, where they're like, now, I know he said that Calvinists were insane and he disliked all of them, but I'm fairly certain he's actually reformed and just didn't know it.
Yeah.
Like, it's the epitome of arrogance to be like, actually, this brilliant man who is smarter than everybody who's ever critiqued him didn't know what he really thought.
Pipe, that's kind of what Dougie was saying. Like, in a sense, he was saying,
Wait a minute. Doug Wilson said something ludicrous.
He was like, C.S. Lewis is so reformed, he doesn't even know it. I mean, it's like, baby, it's like swingers. You're so reformed and you don't even know it. I mean, that's what he was saying.
That's right.
That's what he was saying about C.S. It was crazy.
Baby, how manly is Dougie Wilson? Who's manlier between Drisky, and again, I don't see gender, so this is all a hypothetical. It's a big hypothetical for me. But who's manlier between Dougie Fresh and Drisky?
Dude, I mean, Drisky just has more of that like hoodlum kind of like.
Yeah,
I just finished.
If you're into the hoodlum
I just finished
thing.
Like stealing things. Look, whereas Dougie just looks kind of like patriarchal reform guy with the like almost like he's the prototype with the beard.
What
like
was
he's,
that, what
he's
was that Clint Eastwood movie where he was it? Was it Gran Torino? Was that it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Gran Torino. Sure.
So Doug Wilson is Clint Eastwood. And Mark Driscoll is all the thugs with guns.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, fascinating. Yeah.
That's my, it. You know, so both of them have their shortcomings.
I mean,
but they're in very different classes of this so-called manliness that we don't actually believe in.
Yeah, there really are. I feel like Dougie Wilson is the kind of guy who reads a Winston Churchill biography and dreams of being Churchill.
For sure.
You know what I mean?
And then writes writes a parody on it.
I'm fairly certain he reads a Winston Churchill biography and thinks he's smarter than Winston Churchill.
Right. He's here are my problems with it.
He reads it and he's like, ah, he could have said that better.
He's like, if I wasn't a pastor, exactly. I would have been the Prime Minister of Britain.
Yeah, before I was
exactly.
born.
Yeah, before I was born.
Before that's how manly I am. That's the manliest
before
thing.
Before I was Bjorn.
Before I was Bjorn. Dude, if our episodes had titles, that would be the title.
Can we call
this
episode Before I Was Bjorn? You can, Pipe. You're going to do it.
I can do anything I want with titles on these things. All right, writing
show,
it down.
We've been titling our eps. We should.
I don't know. We were Bjorn.
Because
that would require
it
work.
Takes thought and work.
That would require a measure of creativity, something that we all need to check out out the door before.
Bjorn to Run, kind of a Springsteen thing. I don't know.
Right.
You know, maybe
Bjorn
it's not
to
funny.
Run.
Yeah.
Nice. Oh, man.
Bjorn This Way. Wasn't that a Lady Gaga song?
Yeah. Bjorn This Way. I love it, dude. I love it.
I'm writing all these down. Bjork.
Yeah,
this
please do.
Way. All right.
Bjork
please
this do. Way.
We've got three different working titles now.
Boys, here's my question, and it's real. This is a radio business question. Is this episode, by all intents and purposes, over at this point?
Gosh.
And should I end it, or should we just keep like flogging away at this
thing?
This
is what I want you to do, baby, if you have some ears for me right now.
Yeah.
I want you to end the ep for the love of everything good and pure. And I want you to sign it off with a different sign off and surprise us.
Baby, no,
whoa.
I can't.
Hey now.
This is a big deal. I feel like the Rachel the Hell Devins thing, it's on
there,
brand.
You just said it.
You know what I mean?
Let's switch it up a little bit. You know, I'm a progressive guy. I like to change things up occasionally.
Ron, see, this is leveraging a situation inappropriately. Like, you're putting us on the spot on the air where we can't work this out in an appropriate manner. Cause now there's tension.
Well, Pipe, I'm not asking you to sign off. I'm asking my co-author.
But who's
to come up?
Good Bjorn partner.
So I'm asking my co-author to come up with something
nice. I haven't co-Bjorned a book with you yet, but
Pipe, I've only
no,
asked
I don't
you
want
three
to,
times
because
to co-write
I feel
a
betrayed.
Book, and you're just like, you know, I'm just kind of a solo guy, and, you know, I mean, come on, you know, come on.
Wait, did that actually happen and I forgot?
Only three times.
Oh, well, no wonder I forgot.
Baby, I know that happened. I know it happened. Well, a long
Why
time
write a
ago.
Whole book when you can write half a book? There's my philosophy.
There you go. There you go. Ronnie he's ready to Bjorn with anyone
I mean,
in the Christian book industry.
You know,
so
I'm economical, if anything.
Baby, would you hop in Jared C. Wilson's
what's,
Bjorn?
What's economical is to get the whole advance for a book and not half of it. That's what's economical.
Yeah, but I mean, if That's you were true. To see me and Ted's you know, advances, you would know that two people get a bigger advance.
Huge. Decadent. Decadent. I mean, I don't even like
to
talk
about
it.
Is that why you up and moved to the picturesque vacation town of Asheville?
You can't even remember it. It's like those three times I asked you to co-write. It's so far out of your brain now you can't even remember it anymore.
Ashland. Pipe. Yeah, so that's the one.
That's why all of Christian media is moving to Ashland. I mean, I think it's Ron's magnetic pull on the industry. Ashland is going to be it's going to be the new Nashville, the new Grand Rapids, you know, the new hub.
It's a hub. It's
of,
a hub.
Of Christian publishing. It's a hub. Yeah, it's an epicenter. But baby, here's the thing. Okay. Real talk. This is like a business meeting now between the three of us. You've been banging this drum for a long time for me to change the sign off name. Okay.
Oh,
yeah,
never,
you have. This
I
is
never
the first
remember
time.
Asking that, but
Piper, it's not the first time, is it?
It's not. It's happened at least three times, kind of like apparently you asking me to co-author a book.
Yeah, that's why I forget.
And
if it's three
and
times,
and you
I forget.
Remember it just about as well.
Our memories are foggy as a program right now. We're having trouble recalling these things. But I feel like in true corporate fashion, this is the kind of decision that needs to be made via committee. Okay, so I'm going to ask you and Piper to form a subcommittee to work out this Rachel the Hell Devens issue, because you know what, doggone it, call me a stodgy traditionalist. I don't feel comfortable like wading into those waters right now. It feels hasty.
Maybe it's your
me.
Call. I'm not trying to tell you what to do.
It feels hasty.
I understand that.
I'm a slow mover, you know, and I know you're fast paced. You're one of these West Coast fast moving California guys.
I'm not a native Midwesterner. I know.
That's right. I think these things through, baby. I move slowly. Don't rush me.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
But can you please end the program?
I'm going to end this thing right now. I'm going to end it on a somber note. Because we've had words. We've had words as a staff. But in addition to having words, we have done what we often do on this program, and that we've wandered to and fro throughout these topics, wearing our baby Bjorns with each other in them. And until next time, Rachel the Hell Devens.
The Happy Rant is brought to you by Resonate Recordings. If you go to resonaterecordings.com, you can see the full range of services they offer. So if you're considering starting a podcast, they are the ones we recommend going with. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see their prices, to connect with them and ask any questions, and to see what they can do to help you launch, edit, master, and improve your podcast. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see what they can do to help you launch and improve your podcast.
Everyone wants to change the world. Capital Ministries is doing just that, one heart at a time, by creating disciples of Jesus Christ among political leaders in the U.S. and foreign nations. For more than 25 years, founder Ralph Drollinger has written Bible studies specifically for public servants. Study along with us and learn what the Bible says about capitalism, communism, abortion, same-sex marriage, and other contemporary issues. Subscribe and follow us at lifeaudio.com or search Capital Ministries on your favorite podcast platform.